Thank you, Brother Rod. Powerful. I know that our nation is not perfect, but I'm glad I get to live in the nation called America. I would say that I think America's greatest need finds itself wonderfully applicable in the preaching series that I have been preaching to you about our church. Plantation Baptist Church believes that the number one need of the human soul is the salvation of Jesus Christ. People need the Lord. You know, I was watching the news this week, and there was a highlight, I think it was on Channel 7, I'm not sure, but these two ladies had found these two veterans. And for whatever reason, they find themselves living a homeless life right now, and these two ladies had taken on this responsibility to minister to them. And, you know, not only are our veterans suffering, but our citizens are suffering today. We in America have everything that you could possibly imagine. Freedom, wealth, opportunity, prestige, joy. We have everything the heart could desire. And yet there seems to be a longing in our soul and our citizens. Our citizens find themselves having to drink themselves out of feeling, or some way put themselves in a sense of a high to just forget about the moments and the emotions, to medicate themselves legally, illegally. Search for something to satisfy the longing in the human soul. And in reality, what the Lord Jesus says is always true. A man's life consisteth not in the things which he possesseth. A man's life consisteth in what's in his soul. Your soul is the most important thing that you possess. God gave it to you. Your soul is unique to you. No one else has your soul. You have your soul. Your soul is that part of you that God put within you that is you. You have a body. Praise God, I'm not my body. Because if I'm my body, I'm depressed. You're laughing at me, but you should look in the mirror. But I am my soul. I'm not purely a soul, but I'm part of soul. That soul is my mind, my makeup, my personality. It's me. God has a soul. The Bible says that. In informing man in the image of God, God gave you a soul. This body is not eternal. This body one day will go back to the dust and the ash of the ground where man was made from. But your soul is eternal. When you die, death is separation. It's always been separation. Physical death is separation. Spiritual death is separation. When the human dies, it is the separation of the soul and the spirit from the body. My body will lay here in a coffin. I say this often. Just my personal opinion, I want to be buried because Jesus was buried. Right. If you want to be cremated, that's fine. Cremate yourself. But I have left particular instructions and enough money for Beverly to bury me, not to cremate me, okay? So if I show up in a jar, she's done something with that money. So when my body is laying there, I want you to know something. That's not your preacher. Because when my soul leaves my body because of the redemption of Jesus Christ, I will be immediately in the presence of God for all eternity. You know, life is so fragile, so fast, so quick. Those that die early through tragedy, man, those that live to be 100, I think I saw the other day a person 110 in our nation or something like that. Yet when you compare that with eternity, just moments. Your human soul is eternal. And it demands your concentration. It demands your understanding. It demands your attention. Because one day that soul that was given to you by God is going to be required again before God. You're going to have to give an account. And you're going to want to give an account that with your soul that you believed upon and you received the Lord Jesus and your soul has been redeemed. See, the soul of man was brought under condemnation because of the sin of man. All of us are born sinners. We've all sinned, which has brought our soul under the condemnation of that sin. That's why Jesus came. Jesus came to die for the sin of the world so that my damned soul could be redeemed. And so when I put my faith and trust in the Lord Jesus and believe upon Him and receive Him as my personal Lord and Savior, He redeems me in my entirety, my body, my soul, and my spirit. My spirit is immediately alive in birth so that it can know God and commune with God. My soul immediately passes from the condemnation of death into life, so I have eternal life. And I get the promise one day of a new body. Hallelujah. Right? I don't know exactly. The Bible says we will be known as we were known. That means you're going to look like you when you get to heaven. Well, you're going to look at me and you're going to say, "You're Tom." But you're going to see me without the effect of sin on my body. Oh, yeah. You think I'm good looking now. Wait till then, right? I think you're good looking now. Wait till then, right? But the soul of our nation is in distress. It's being torn apart. It hurts me. It hurts me to see our people suffer, to be broken, to be devastated, to be committed crimes against, to be murdered, to be raped, to be molested, to be robbed, to be beaten, to be cheated. But that's where humanity finds itself. Pastor, that's a pretty dim picture. It is a dim picture. Pastor, is there any help? There's help in one person. His name is Jesus Christ. And really, truthfully, when I watch a video like that and love begins to churn for my nation, it makes me want people to know the Lord. And one of the reasons I've been preaching this series to you is so that corporately as a church and individually as the people of God, that we would be prepared in our own understanding, in our own mind, in our own spirits to be an effective testimony and a witness for people. That a burden for lost souls would develop in our heart. That we would draw close to the Lord, that God's power would be upon our lives. We have the answer that the world needs. We know the Lord. Here's our problem. Our problem is what Jesus left on the earth as far as the church of Jesus Christ. By the way, if you make up that church, would you say amen to it so you understand? He left the church, the redeemed people, right, on this earth, filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And it's our responsibility to take the gospel, the love of God, the salvation of the person of Christ, to a lost and dying world. And the Lord could have chosen a million other ways to communicate the message. But He chose you and He chose me. He chose us individually. He's chosen us corporately. But a divide has happened. A divide, and really and truthfully, it's a trust divide. And a divide has happened now to where the outside world that needs the Lord Jesus, they see no reality or no reason for what the church has to offer. And so there's this big chasm now, and we're limited in our reach. I don't want that to be true about us. I don't want that to be true about me as a person. I don't want that to be true about us as a church. So we have been preparing ourselves to be an effective witness and to overcome this challenge, this challenge of distance, this challenge of apathy and lethargy in the church, so that we could be powerful witnesses to people that need the Lord. So we talked about resisting the world's propaganda, basing our lives on the eternal word of God. Last week, we talked about the importance of our soul. This week, I really do believe, is probably one of the most important messages I've ever preached. And to be in truth with you, if God will open the door, I will preach this message anywhere he wants me to preach it. Having said that, would you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 17. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 17, Paul is writing to the church at Corinth, and here's what he says. For this cause have I sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son, faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways, which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every what? Every church. Now, some are puffed up. That doesn't mean they're physically swollen. That means they're pridefully swollen. As though I would not come to you. But I will come to you shortly, if the Lord will, and will know not the, say that word, speech of them which are puffed up, but the power. And here's my text, verse number 20. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. I beg you to underline that verse. I beg you to highlight that verse. And I want to preach a message today entitled, We Must Not Be Deceived. The Apostle Paul here is writing to the church at Corinth, and he's writing a warning to the people of that church. If you were to understand the setting here, Paul's having to defend himself. He started the church at Corinth. He loved the church at Corinth, but he couldn't stay long at Corinth. And when the Apostle Paul left the church at Corinth, it left the church vulnerable. And what has happened now is there have been some leaders that have come into the church, and they are very refined. They are very eloquent. They are tremendous communicators. And they have come in and they have begun to wrestle leadership away from the Apostle Paul. Now, you've heard the old adage that sometimes in order to exalt yourself, some people have to tear other people down. You may have been in a relationship like that where somebody always has to tear you down so they can feel like they're higher than you are. This is what was happening. So these leaders were tearing the Apostle Paul down. And what they were saying about him was that he was not the apostle. He did not have the authority to do what he was or what he was. He did not have the understanding there. And so they had puffed themselves up with pride, and they were tearing the Apostle Paul down, and they were providing spiritual leadership. The problem is their leadership was going away from the Word of God. By the way, it's not spiritual leadership if it's opposite the Word of God. So if you read the book of 1 Corinthians, it's almost embarrassing what was going on in this church. Matter of fact, the number one problem they had was incest. They had an incestual part that had crept into this church. When you begin to study the church, you will find that it was filled with sensual immorality. It was filled with idolatry. And when the Apostle Paul left it, it wasn't that direction. But here had come these leaders that were puffed up, tearing down the Apostle Paul, providing spiritual leadership, but yet the activity that was going on in the church was wicked as hell itself. And here's what the Apostle Paul was hearing. The Apostle Paul was hearing people that had the right words, but they did not have the right power of God. And so the Apostle Paul is writing to the people of this church, which I think is a message for the people of our church today and all the churches everywhere, that the kingdom of God is not in word. Bang that around in your mind. Not in word. Now, Pastor, but wait a minute, because the Bible is the word of God. How can the kingdom of God not be in word? Flip just one page to chapter 2 for a second, and let me show you what words we're talking about here. Look, if you would, at chapter 2, verse number 4. Paul, writing to the church, says, "And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of," say those two words, "man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit," capital S, meaning the Holy Spirit, "and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men or the words of men, but in the power of God." So when Paul says the kingdom of God is not in word, he's talking about man's words. The kingdom of God would be the realm of God. He's talking about Christianity here. He's talking about the church. He's talking about that wonderful, mystical body of believers called the church. If you're part of that, say amen. So the kingdom of God is not in word. Here's where we have our problem. Here's where this gets so practical that it's hard to swallow. And to be honest, this is what pastors are realizing, that we have a problem in our churches. And it goes something like this in our mind. If you have the right words, you must be all right. If you have the right words, you must be all right. Neglecting the behavior, neglecting the power of God. That word power of God is the word dunamis. It's explosive. It's a moral goodness. So. Really, the philosophy that's in churches today is this. It doesn't matter about your morality as long as your words are right. It doesn't matter about your behavior as long as you have the right wording. It doesn't matter if we live like hell, if we have heaven words. This is what was happening in Corinth. These guys were bringing all of this wickedness in, but yet at the end of the day, they would stand up and they would have these right words. And Paul says, wait a minute. I will not know the speech that you're saying. I will see the power of God. When Jesus Christ infiltrates my life is transformed into the image of God. We've got a problem. And it's a problem that's running, it's hurting the church, and it's also hurting the outside world. Here's the answer to the generations coming out of the church. If we're not careful, we are teaching from the nursery to the preschool, to the primary, to the junior high, and to the high school, the right wording. And they know what to say. They know that Jesus died on the cross. They know that he was buried. And they know that he rose again. They know the words. But many of them never break through to the new birth. And so they justify ungodly behavior because they can quote the right words. You can quote Jesus died, was buried, and rose again a billion times. Those words don't save you. Belief, faith, the power of God, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, that saves you. Pastor, I don't understand. I brought up my kid in church. Where did I go wrong? The kingdom of God is not in word. It's in power. So here's what the outside world says. The outside world looks in and they see people with words, but they lack the transformation of their life. There's no difference between them and the unsaved world other than the words. And really and truthfully, the words without the power of God frustrate the unsaved world, because the unsaved world looks in and says, well, they're hypocrites. Well, I'm better than them. At least I'm honest in my sin. This guy's over here and he's telling me all this Jesus stuff, but he's doing exactly what I'm doing. These people over here, they can quote the Bible, but the Bible's not in their life. And so the perspective of the world is the church is no different than us. I got news for you. If I'm indwelt by Jesus, I'm different than them. And let me just say a word here. If you're in this room and you do not have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, you need to understand you were born a sinner. You need to understand you're under the condemnation of that sin. If you die without receiving the redemption of Jesus and as a substitute atonement for your sin, you're going to die and go into a Christless eternity in a place called hell. That is a reality from the Word of God. You cannot let the hypocrisy of somebody who believes the kingdom of God in word continue to add to the damnation of your soul. Read the Bible for yourself. So we have a problem in churches. Somehow, we got to the point that I don't need moral transformation as long as I have the right words. Paul, writing to Corinth, said, the kingdom of God is not in word. Wow. Romans chapter 1, please hold your hand here. We're coming back. Verse 16. I need more than two hands to hold my spot. Are you there? Romans 1:16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Now watch this. That word power is the dunamis, explosive, transforming power of God. To everyone that speaketh. Does your Bible say that? Oh, it better not say that. Let's go back. To everyone that what class? Believeth. Believeth. To the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed. From faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live, how? By faith. You see, words can deceive. Words are manipulatable. The kingdom of God has in its very essence the explosive transforming power of the Word of God. That's what the gospel does. You can quote, that Jesus died, he was buried, and rose again, all you want to. But unless you believe in faith and the power of that gospel indwells your life in the person of Christ, once that happens, there is an explosion that takes place within you. What is that explosion, Pastor? That explosion is old things are passed away and all things become. That's not where we are today as a church. All around, you don't need that moral goodness. You don't need that transformation. You just have to have the right words. Sometimes people ask me about certain people. And they'll say something like, Pastor, especially to my kids, Dad, is that person a Christian? And I find myself, when I can't give their life as an example of a Christian, I'll say this. Well, they say they are. Well, they say they are. Paul would say, the kingdom of God is not in your words. The kingdom of God is in the power of the gospel and the power of God in your life. If the life of Christ is in you, you're different. We got a problem. We know what to say. But we lack the transformation. A Christian is not somebody who can recite words. A Christian is somebody who has the living God inside of them. A Christian is somebody that's been made new by the power of the gospel. I don't care what you can say. It's not your words. What's Paul doing here? Paul is taking attention away from the eloquent. He's taking attention away from speech, mere words. And he's directly focusing on the power of the risen Lord and the Holy Spirit of God. And Paul is in effect saying, I've sent Timothy here to tell you this. The power is not it is the power of God that speaks. It's not a man's mouth. We say it this way: your walk should match your talk. How do I know the power of God as opposed to my words? Why do we need to understand this, Pastor? Because you're never going to know moral change without moral power. I cannot change myself. In my essence, and I got to be careful here, in my essence, I am a sinner. In my essence, I'm a lustful man. In my essence, I'm dishonest. In my essence, I'm horrible. And no matter how much I try within my own ability to restrain that sinful essence, you give my flesh an inch, it's going to take a mile. So I don't have the ability to restrain that. There's only one that has the ability to change that. That's Jesus Christ. Right? So here's the problem that churches are facing. We're concentrating on words and not the power of God or the Holy Spirit of God. It's the Holy Spirit of God that exposes sin to the sinner's heart. It's the Holy Spirit of God that reproves the world of sin and of righteousness. It's the Holy Spirit of God that pricks someone. It's the Holy Spirit of God that indwells me and transforms me and revolutionizes me. It's the Holy Spirit of God that brings holiness to me and you. Amen. But absence of the holiness of God, just because I can say the right thing, doesn't mean I know the kingdom of God. It's a persuasive power. It challenges me in my thoughts. The Holy Spirit of God is also that power that brings me to worship. It brings a reverence to me. It creates a desire to worship the Lord. It's the power of God that draws people to Jesus Christ. It's the power of God that has the ability to transform my life. And so Paul's writing to the church at Corinth, and this is a message every church needs. The kingdom of God is not in your word. It's in the power of God. So the unsaved world, I hear this all the time. You know, we're done with the church. We need something just more real. Have you heard that? We need something real. I don't know anyone more real than the eternal God, right? So here's what they're saying. We hear what you Christians are saying. We also see the emptiness of those words. We don't need words. We need something real. Yeah, right. We have someone real. But the problem with the church is that somewhere we're not doing a very good job evangelizing a lost world with the real Savior. And I think if we're not careful, we're substituting words without the holiness of God. Just because you can say spiritual things doesn't make you spiritual. Just because you have the right words doesn't make you right, my friend. What makes you right is that dynamite change by the presence of the living God. Here's what I want for our church. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, and we'll be done. Here's what I want for you, and here's what I want for myself. First Thessalonians chapter 1, verse number 5. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in what class? Power. And in the Holy Ghost. And in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with what class? Joy. It's the power of God that brings joy to the human soul, not words. Outside of this building are millions of people that lack the joy of a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus. Right? The last thing they need are just words. What they need is that gospel that's not only in words, but in power. This is why your testimony, Christian, is so important. This is why you cannot tell people you're a Christian and then live like hell. This is why you can't just mutter off to them the gospel and then portray to them immorality. You can't tell them that the kingdom of God is just words. They're looking for someone real. The real one is the one that indwells us and has changed us. And if I think about our church being prepared for 2020, we cannot fall into the trap and be deceived that the kingdom of God is just words. It has to carry with it the power of God in our lives. Amen. Amen. So I'm going to ask you right to your face, because I'm your pastor and you love me. Tell me your salvation's more than words. Man, I'm so sorry. I know you died for me. I know you buried for me. I know you rose again for me. It's so different Monday through Friday. Oh, man. And I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I know you died for me. I know you were buried. I know you rose. No power. No transformation. No righteousness. Just words. Paul says, that's not the kingdom of God. We've got churches full of people that as long as they say the right words, they think they're okay, absent a transformation of their moral behavior. That is not biblical. That is not biblical. We love this book. Amen. Let's pray.